I first noticed I was missing on a Thursday. Red and I had already been for our walk, and he went to sleep on the bath mat while I was taking my shower. Red is a Karen Terrier. He's bath mat size. After the shower, I was standing in front of the mirror in a toweling robe brushing my teeth. When I looked up, I was gone. It didn't startle me at first, not exactly. I thought it was just some trick of the light, a fog that had built up on the mirror. But when I wiped my sleeve over the medicine cabinet, I still wasn't there. My toothbrush was there, floating by itself several inches out from the cuff of my robe. And the robe was there, the collar and shoulders filling out the bottom of the mirror's frame. But I was missing. I moved from side to side a couple of times, trying to fit myself back into the picture. But all I saw was the open shower curtain behind me, the tiles of the tub, the built-in shelf that held the shampoo and conditioner. I spat out the toothpaste, and there it was in the sink, looking exactly like toothpaste. That was when I thought, stroke. Pieces of my vision were missing, even though I couldn't imagine what kind of stroke would just remove a face, a neck, a hand. Leaning forward toward the mirror, I gently tapped my invisible fingers against my invisible cheek, and what had once been a finger was stopped by what had once been a face. Curiosity was quickly being replaced by a rising wall of panic. I was 54 years old, and I was gone. Red? I said, trying out my voice. Unlike the rest of me, my voice was still there. Red lifted his head from the bath mat and looked straight at me, his brown eyes bright and full of recognition. He wagged his tail, thinking that maybe I wanted to go for another walk. Tentatively, I held out my invisible hand to him, wondering if I was dead, and if I was, what effect it would have on the poor dog. But Red sniffed the place where my hand should have been and gave it a couple of licks. I felt the rough wash of his tongue working over my phantom wrist, which I took to be a good sign, and so I went back to the mirror again. Still not there. I went into the bedroom feeling lightheaded, or feeling like someone who didn't have a head, and sitting down on the edge of the bed, which gave a creak of recognition, I picked up the phone and dialed the back line number at Arthur's office. I suppose that any day one finds oneself to be invisible was not going to shape up to be a lucky day. So when Arthur's nurse, Mary, answered, I shouldn't have been surprised. Arthur has three nurses, and getting Mary on the phone was the definite equivalent of drawing the short straw. Dr. Hobart's office, she said, impatient from the start. Mary, it's Clover. I need to speak to Arthur. I was struggling not to hyperventilate. I could see her shaking her head. He's in with a patient. Is there something I can help you with? Maybe she thought I was calling in regard to a sick child, even though she knew that Nick was 23 and Evie was 20. Can you get him for me? He has patients waiting in all five of the exam rooms, with 14 more in the waiting room. Her voice was both flat and brisk. He's in with the mayor's wife now. Their second grader has a rash. It could be a tick bite. We've got a vomiting toddler in room 3 and a first-time mother in room 1 who has brought in a week's worth of used diapers that she has been refrigerating because she thinks the stool is inconsistent. I get it, I said, though there was nothing even notable about her report. This was Arthur's day, all day, every day, from the minute he walked in the door of his office until the minute he left. And even when he left, much of his work managed to follow him home. I understood it was her job to protect him in any way possible, to use herself to create a human shield between him and the world. But I never did appreciate the fact that she applied that same shield against me. I almost never called the office. Is it an emergency? Mary asked. It is. Okay, she said, but I could tell she had already been distracted. I could hear a shrill screaming in the background, and then, abruptly, the line went dead.